Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues we care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, women in leadership.
I believe by nature, women are emotional beings, and we do everything we do with our heart. You know, it's done for the love. We put everything.
21st century, this is the time when women actually, they are coming up and take a role that we can be a leader. We can do anything that any man can do.
Well, the majority of Americans believe women are every bit as capable of being good political leaders as men. And this is according to a Pew Research in 2015. So, do you agree with that? Well, we'll find out tonight on Let's Talk. We'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show, my friend Al Hassan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And of course, we have Humphrey. Welcome, Humphrey.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
And the only lady in the room, Jane. Welcome back, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
All right. In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing women in leadership. Well, the leadership role around the world has no doubt been dominated by men, despite of many strides made by women in recent years. So, my question is there any difference in the style of leadership and capacity of innovation between men and women? I spoke to Fiona Wamai, a fellow here in VOA from Kampala, Uganda, and I wanted to know, can women be good leaders?
Women are born leaders.
Really? Why is that?
Look at us. In a home, that is the basic setting.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
A woman in this context is a wife, is a mother, mm-hmm. is a sister, is a friend. And you have to be a leader for you to shoulder all those responsibilities. Yeah, and now...
Now, thinking about that, Fiona, it's very interesting, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe at home, a woman is a very good leader.
Mm.
And also when we come to the business world,
mm-hmm.
when we come to politics,
mm-hmm.
when we come to sports, why don't we see leaders taking these roles? I mean, not that we don't have, but why not so many?
I think it goes back to the perception
okay.
around us, the culture that we have. We think
mm-hmm.
most times the culture has, I don't want to use the word demean,
okay.
but well, I'll use it
okay.
for lack of better words.
Okay.
It has put the woman to the lowest of stools. The other day we had what a whole president was saying concerning the wife. My wife, her duty is in the kitchen, you know. In other words, it can be taken differently. But for me, I would think that, hey, you're nothing more than a cook stove, you know, a washing machine. That's where your word doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say, you know. Unfortunately, this is how the whole world is perceiving of women. And that is why you see that most times it doesn't matter how much you try. Most times you're stepped on.
But also we have seen those who have been so fortunate as women leaders
mm-hmm.
doing a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, is this because they're trying to prove something?
No, Sunday, I believe by nature,
mm-hmm.
women are emotional beings.
Mm.
And we do everything we do with our heart.
Okay.
You know, we put our effort. And yes, most times you could think maybe, okay, I'm going to get something out of it. But most times it's done for the love.
Okay.
We put everything. And that's why many times when someone puts a female leader decides, like goes out and does something, trust me, it will come out because she has put in her all, you know, heart and mind.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I love listening to Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Her speeches.
Yes.
Do you see the passion?
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And that is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know, when she's talking about something, it doesn't matter what she's talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That passion, that emotion that love. That's what sets us apart from the men.
Thank you, Fiona. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing women in leadership. And now, back to the studio. Please, let me welcome, as I would say, ladies first, lady in the room, Jane Winuka.
When we talk about women in leadership, as we all know, when it comes to leadership, as far as women, it starts at home.
Sure.
For many, many years, mm-hmm. women, we are the one actually take care of the family, care of the cooking, all the husband, all the work. But when it comes to 21st century, things have changed. This is the time when women actually, they are coming up and take a role that we can be a leader. We can do anything that any man can do. In that case, in 21st century, women are stepping up very strongly to show their muscles that we can do anything that a man can do. Now, mm-hmm. this is the problem.
Where's the problem?
For example, here in America, mm-hmm. the wages is very different.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So you see that men are getting maybe time and a half more than what women can get. And at the same time, women for the same job that they're doing. At the same time, I think women were working more harder than men because men, they get to the point where they start feeling very comfortable with their role. They know they will be paid regardless. At the same time, they forget that women, they're doing the same job that they're doing. So this is what happened. When these things came up, men start being afraid that women, oh, they're starting controlling us. It's not really a matter of controlling. It's a matter of showing your capabilities, showing what actually you can do, and showing that as a person, I can do this, I can do that without a man, not necessary to have a man do that kind of job. So with all the challenges, let's say, for as far as the wages and hours, and at the same time, women have to take care of their family at home, as far as the kids, it becomes very tough for women to actually to take the role of a man. But I'm so impressed so far because women still, with all the responsibilities that they have, they are still coming up slowly, slowly, and taking over, starting from a kitchen. Women now, they can, even if they can take care of their family, they can still manage to open a small business somewhere. Yeah. And have a little restaurant, mm-hmm. and take care of the kids right in the kitchen, at the same time run the business, so they're becoming entrepreneurs.
You're right,
at
Jane.
At the same time can go to school.
Uh-huh.
So that mentality of, say, women is just a person who's supposed to take care of the family or to be home, it's kind of fading a little bit.
Okay. And then this one thing I want to ask you, Jane, that's very, very good point. That so many women are becoming entrepreneurs, they're also working. You'll find, like in Tanzania, we have these Chaga women, they do a lot of businesses, they still go to work, they still take care of the home. You see,
right.
In Kenya, my friend Humphrey will express this more than I do about what Kikuyu maybe women do. So let me ask you, Humphrey, what is the difference here when we come to leadership between men and women, and why we don't have so many women leaders?
Say. Let me first off say this, and Jane may not like this, but I don't think that whatever a man can do, a woman can do. Not in all aspects and not in all fields.
Because
if that was the case, let's say, for example, in the National Football League, we would have a woman quarterback. But I guess that is why we have different leagues. You have the NFL, or
right.
the Major League Soccer, then you have the Women's Major League Soccer. In the NBA, you've got the NBA and the WNBA. So I think it's only fair to state that, and there's certain, and not everything that a woman can do, a man can do.
Exactly.
Right.
There are things that a man can do, a woman can do, that a man can't. You know, a man cannot get pregnant.
Exactly.
You
oh
know?
My goodness.
And that is true. Now, when it comes to leadership, and, you know, the people have had these discussions back and forth, it takes a special type of woman to ascend to leadership. And when I mean, when I say a special type of woman, I mean, when it comes to leadership, there are certain things that have to be done, more or less, let me put it this way, cutthroat. men are not really emotional creatures by nature.
Of course.
Women are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes some of the decisions are made
on an emotional level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excluding logic. So you remove logic out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when you put the emotions in, you find that the decision that has been made is simply because it was made on an emotional level.
Exactly.
Now, that is one aspect of men that we men can say that we are not as emotional as women.
Right.
Women are more natural than men are, and that is a fact. You can take that to the bank and cash it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a classic example.
Okay.
You'll find that a woman will meet a guy today. Maybe the guy has got one kid or two kids, and she will actually accept and agree to be part of the kids or the children's lives.
Mm.
But now for guys, it's kind of different. It's like the option for him is, no, I do not want to date a woman who has got kids. I want to have my own kid. That sometimes, you know, unbalances us. But I think also it has been the lack of women in leadership has also been a traditional, I'm not going to say taboo, but I'm going to use the word taboo, in that the girl child has not been groomed by the society and injected in her the notion that she can be a leader. It's more or less the woman, you know, you wake up, okay, you hang out with your mother, and when you hang out with your mother, you're staying in the kitchen, you're going to collect firewood, you're going to the farm. The guy is, the boy child is growing, has grown up, you go with your father, you go hunting, you come in, you go to the men and the barazas, you meet the elders. The elders are men. Would women make good leaders? We clearly sort of see that happening, you know, like with Sir Leif Johnson, Angela Merkel, and hopefully, you know, Mama Rhoda, you know, maybe, you know, we sort of see women being able to handle that mantle. But I also, I think also the girl child needs to be groomed that she can be a leader.
Al Hassan here, your experience with women leaders, maybe is there any difference that you can see and pinpoint? And that is the reason today that we don't have so many leaders, not only at home or in corporate culture, but in the political arena.
Basically, humanity is born out of three canonical faiths. We have the Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, where I belong, right?
Yeah.
Each of these religions, basically, to be honest with you, generally, humanity has this as the center point of their ideological belonging, right? And then, mm-hmm. of course, upon that with time, Judaism, atheism, whatever, Buddhism, atheism, and whatever came. But then when you look at it, within the generally accepted faith groups here in the mainland Western world, like Europe and the West, each of these religions has at its core the clear demarcation between men and women. There are certain roles according to scriptures. You can even tell me that is exactly, you know, associated with men, that of being the head of the family, that of being the leader of the family, that of being the responsible person upon whom the burden of the family lies, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is to be the provider. He is to be to shelter her. He is to do everything to make her life comfortable, right?
Yeah.
That is even within religion. Even if just religions in Islam, for example, women cannot take any leadership position where men will be the subject. For example, women cannot be an imam or a priest to be in front of men to pray. This is nothing racism, but just look at her physique, the way she is made. Women are attractive. Men are attracted by the sense of sight. Imagine if a woman stands before you to pray. Are you going, how can you have that concentration to focus on God so that you can have that connection of divinity, right? I mean, this is scientific.
I think you're giving a logic, which is understandable in your terms and your religion. But at the same time, we do have on the other side of Christianity, you have women who are pastors. And they are leaders, and they do it.
Yes, I'll come to that. That is on one side. On the other part of it is culture.
Mm-hmm.
When we grow up with women you know, they genetically, if I'm wrong, or I should say organically or culturally hardwired not to lord it over men, to accept they themselves as subservient to men, to apportion certain roles to they themselves. For example, I'll tell you one clear example. Growing up in my house, a compound house with a granddad where we have like dozens of us, you know, my granddad used to be married to four women as a Muslim, scholar. It's a family house with three different houses, huge family. And whenever something happens, something scary happens, either around the area or in the household. I used to hear growing up my grandmom and my mom and my aunt, all the women in the house, call now in my language, Kukira Maza. It means call men. Where are men? Go and look out for men. Call your senior brother. No, like when something happens.
So they can come and help out. You're the soldiers of the house.
Come and rescue the situation. Right?
Okay.
They are hardwired to accept that. To the extent that, in fact, when I was in high school, finishing high school, my sister, who eventually decided to play table tennis, she became an outcast in the house. Can you believe that?
I can believe that. It happens, I know.
Table tennis.
Hold it right there. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
As in where hustle supposed to chop, it's supposed to pop.
In the world today, we have so many women leaders in different categories, in corporate, in business, in leadership. And to name a few, Johnson Sirleaf, the president of Liberia. We also have Chancellor Angela Merkel in Germany, Cristina Elizabeth Fernandez in Argentina, to name a few. But do they have a unique style of leading, or is there any difference in governing? And why not having as many as men do? I spoke to Paul Ndiho, and I wanted to know his take.
I think maybe I'll start with the last question. I think there are a lot of women in leadership positions, except that we only see few who have ascended to the presidency. For example, in Liberia, we also had a lady president in Malawi, Joyce Banda. Right now, currently in Zimbabwe, we have somebody who is aspiring for that office, Joyce Mujuru. So we are beginning to see we have the head of the African Union, Mrs. Zuma, who happens to be a lady, and I think she's doing a great job. So we've had women in leadership positions. It's not that we don't have women in leadership positions. Maybe what we need to do is to have more women in leadership positions.
Okay, Paul, let me ask you this. If a woman becomes a leader, are they the best leaders in doing their job apart from any other thing they do? And if this is true, because I have some examples that I can ask you. For instance, Golda Meir, the famous Israeli prime minister back in the 70s or 60s, she was a great leader. We also had the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher. These ladies were firm in what they were doing. Is this maybe a reason in some places that they wouldn't allow women to lead, especially in place of politics or cultural?
I think largely it's all culture. I've never seen any country that restricts women from ascending into leadership positions. For example, in Rwanda, they pride themselves as having the largest majority of women in parliament.
In parliament,
there are other countries where women have actually ascended to leadership roles. It's a combination. It's a combination of so many things. Number one, leadership. For me, the way I look at leadership is about the qualities that you bring to the job, the abilities that you bring to the job. What is it that you can do differently? How are you going to inspire the next generation of leaders? And there are some women who have done remarkably well in that field. You look at Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. When she took over the mantle in Liberia, Liberia was just recovering from a decade of civil war. So she's been able to do some good things, but in some areas she's still struggling. That being said, I think there are places, there is room for growth. There are places where women can actually make a difference. There are places where women can play a very, very significant role when it comes to maybe helping with a girl child, helping with women entrepreneurs. There are places where, talking about maternal health, I think those are areas where women really can help other women to do certain things. Even having women in parliament, for example, that voice is critical in parliament.
Tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing women in leadership. Now back to the studio. Now I want to give this opportunity to the only lady in the house today. Jane, you have heard what our friend Al Hassan had to say. Tell me, I know you have seen a lot of differences. We all know, of course, the famous saying, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. But
that's true.
There is, okay, but there is a quality that women do. You could tell us something about it as a woman, if you are today doing a position of leadership.
Oh, thank you, Sunday. Okay, as I think I need to remind you guys, if you remember the Beijing conference, the women conference that happened in Beijing.
Yes.
And that was...
Why was that? Beginning. Where I was coming, actually, to continue my point.
That was the beginning of, actually, to empower women.
Women,
and
yes.
Encourage them that you can, you don't have to be just a housewife. You don't have to be just, you know, according to what your religious do. You are a human being created and empowered by God to do anything. Okay? And the real intention is not really exactly to take over of a man, but the lifestyle we're living now and the time that we live now is totally different from the past.
Yes,
now,
definitely.
If you look, there are so, like here in America, for example, there are so many men that they are doing a babysitting job where a wife was going to work because the wife was more educated than a husband. So it's a matter of agreement to that, okay, who makes more money? Who can provide more? It's the agreement. It's about the family. When it comes to religion, which I've had you guys discussing more, I'm a Catholic. And I attended the church right here in Washington, D.C., at the cathedral, where we have women leaders. And they lead the services every Sunday. And this is actually a progress that even Pope is working to approve some of the women to take some leadership position in the church.
Okay.
What am I trying to say? Back in the days, like where I am from, we used to believe that women cannot even wear pants. Right. It's against God. You have to wear traditional long dress, things like that. Not anymore. Those things does not exist anymore. It's about what you can provide to the family, what really makes sense in the family. I grew up in the house where my brother actually, he was cooking more than girls. It was four girls, but he was cooking, not because he was weak, but because he's a man and he's willing to do it. So, when it comes to religion, look what happened in Iraq, in a Muslim country. Women now are driving cars. They were not allowed to drive for many years. Okay, so this has to do with the new generation. It has to do with what actually can benefit your family, your country, your community, whether women want to be entrepreneurs. Exactly. So in that case, we are getting to the point where ladies, teenagers, the millennial women, they are coming up by see that, okay, this is the chances for us to come up, to show what we can do, that I'm not limited of what I can do. And you're not really competing with men. Man is a man, a woman will be a woman. That cannot be changed. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of what can make sense in my community, in my country, in my family. What will benefit this family? And that's what has to be done. When it comes to culture, they will limit you to do that because they'll say, oh, no, a man is the head of a household. Those are taboos. In 21st century, we need to forget about that.
Exactly.
A man will still be a man. Nobody can change you from being a man.
I wanted to agree with Ali Hassan about culture and religion, and especially in Africa. And I'm not even talking about the cities. We can even look at the countryside. We can even look at the villages. you know, when you have a country like in Kenya where I think 80-85% is Christian, and who you know, believe biblically, you know, the man is the head of the household, you know, and that is what is preached, you know, and especially in Christianity, you know, and some people stay truth to that. And it also becomes a problem when, let's say, for example, Jane wants to be a leader, you know, actually, chances are that the people who will be in opposition will themselves be the women. You know, they're the ones who will be opposing Jane them the most. The most vocal.
So there will be a something like hating or competition.
Oh, they're like, what is she trying to show us? You know, why doesn't she get married? Why doesn't she go and take care of her husband? In fact, if she doesn't have kids, she knows she needs to go get kids. I mean, that's the mentality, African-wise. I mean, like in Kenya, probably, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, you find such pockets, you know, which have thoughts like that. But then again, you know, when you have, like, you know, when she was talking about her brother cooking more than the women,
yeah,
that is it starts there. It starts within the family unit. Mm-hmm. And in the family unit, when you start showing, you know, the girl child, you know, why don't you to do this, take care of this, handle that, not necessarily just in the kitchen, or, okay, we have a situation, go take care of this. You know, that can translate to doing bigger things, you know, when she goes to school. And then when she goes to school, she's told, I want you to be in charge of this. I want you to do this. So leadership is going to start from home. It's not something that when you are 35 and decide, you know, I want to be a leader. No. You have to be groomed. I believe you have to be groomed. And the only way you're groomed is it starts from the house.
Thank you so much. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. It's time now for the unusual story of the week.
Hello, hello to you all tuned in. This is Loic Youth for Let's Talk, and here's this week's odd news. A woman has given birth to a baby from the same womb she was born from after receiving a uterus from her mother. Emily Erickson, who was born without a womb, received the organ from her mother and nearly 2 years ago, in a world first, gave birth to son Albin. The 30-year-old Swede said it felt like science fiction. Miss Erickson was 15 when she began wondering why she had not got her period, and tests later revealed that she had been born without a womb, which she later received medically from her mom. In 1916, Israel Kristal turned 13 without celebrating his bar mitzvah. World wars and the Holocaust prevented his celebration, but a century later, Kristal will finally get the chance. He's the oldest man in the world, according to Guinness World Records, after recently turning 113. His daughter told a news outlet that his family is planning a bar mitzvah for him, and about 100 relatives will attend. Lastly, a 23-year-old man has been charged with growing more than 40 marijuana plants in a Vermont cemetery. Authorities say Rutland County deputies found 5 grow sites while patrolling Chippenhook Cemetery in Clarendon and spotted Adam Mahoney in the woods near the cemetery. He allegedly fled when told to stop. An affidavit says Mahoney admitted to caring for and cultivating marijuana plants. What an interesting sight for a garden. But that is it from me, Loic Youth, in this week's Odd News. Back to you, Sunday.
And that's it for our show today, where we lightheartedly explored women in leadership. A big thank you to Paul Ndiho and Wamai Fiona from Uganda. And of course, a big thank you to the panel in studio. Humphrey, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, Al Hassan, thank you for being here tonight.
Glad to be here, my brother.
Okay. And thank you to Jane Mwinuka as well. And Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the view announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. From Washington, This is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.